Okay, I would like us to just pray, and then I know Daniel has already prayed, but
it's okay.
Just want to,
Lord.
Yeah, let's pray.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We pray right now that Holy Spirit, as we dive into this teaching, may you illuminate our minds, Lord. Let your word find room in our hearts that we'll be able to put it into practice to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so before we read the portion of scripture, I've written something here as an introduction in which I said, in this portion of scripture, I want each one of us to face our own selves before we became Christians. That is something creepy and uncomfortable, okay? But it's good sometimes. Amen. Okay, so just take a flash. I don't want you to get lost, you know, into the past. Just take a flash of your past, you know, how you were and how you are now. I want you to revamp first from the past to come back, you know, before certain things begin to come up. Okay, yeah. So, when we think of who we were, let me even stand, praise God. When we think of who we were, I think some of us are going to bear witness, like I, for one. It's interesting, just about 2 months ago, we reconnected, you know, with the team in high school that we were in together. So we had 3 classes, A, B, C, okay? From the 10th grade to the 12th grade. And so this team, some individuals met, that's 2005 when we left high school. So some individuals met and then they said, hey guys, we need to connect, you know, we make a WhatsApp group and we begin. You know, so I was wondering how that would look like. So about 5 people communicated with me, hey, Pastor, we want you to join this group, this, you know. So I said, okay, I'm not so sure, but okay, put me in there. I didn't really have a good feeling about it because I knew what the group, you know, was all about. It was to remind each other of the things that we were doing and so on and so forth. And so they put me in there. And the first thing that I saw in the messages is that people started, you know, bringing up the nicknames that they were calling us by. And so somebody called me one, and I quickly corrected them. I said, as for me, I have moved on. Please don't call me that. Just call me by my name. And everyone was like, oh, sorry, Pastor. They were like testing the waters, you know, to see, is this guy, you know, still enjoying the glory of the past or maybe has moved on? But I quickly corrected them because I never wanted to be called by that name. Yeah. And others are even calling each other. But what I've been doing is I just post devotions in there. I hammer them, you know. Even writing the confession, the sinner's prayers, just right in there, you know. So that's what I've been doing. They know me, so praise God. So most of the times when we think of the past, so many things will come up, you know. Like, as I always say, I used to go by the name of Nature. You know, they used to call me Nature, they used to call me Destroyer, they used to call me Zirirengoma, you know. Beat the drums. That's Zirirengoma in the local language, you know. So a lot of funny names, you know, of which I don't want to be called now. Okay.
Yeah.
By then, that was my identity. I used to feel nice every time they called me. I could even bounce when walking. I'm like, yeah, I'm the one. But not anymore. Yeah, that's why I responded to that brother. So each one of us, we've got degrees of the past, okay? Of our past identities. I don't know, you may not have a nickname, but maybe you may have a past in one way or the other. Think about your background in a moment, and how do you feel about it? Some of us, you know, when we think of the past, we get angry, Sometimes we feel sad, you know, sorrowful or ashamed. These things come up. Think of your social status. Okay? In the past, how were you feeling about your social status? And now, how is it? Think of your achievements. Of course, I've been on the downside. Now, think of the high spirits of your achievement where we feel good, okay? When you think of the glory of the past, how is that coming up? And everything that was around you, you know, how does that feel? How does that make you feel? Happy, boastful, shameful, or sorrowful? In one way or the other, we are going to find that all these words are going to interplay, you know, in our thoughts. They'll be coming, go, they'll be coming, go. So, our past is written differently, and we experienced it differently. Okay? Now, in the same way, the man that we are going to talk about today, Paul, is the man who had his own past, okay? Of which he was very proud of. So, as I've said here, whatever you may be feeling right now might relate to what Paul's contemporary audience was facing. They attached value to their race, social status, and everything else that surrounded them before they became Christians. Thus, Paul was redirecting this boasting to the goal. And what is this goal? This goal is what is, which is loss of everything they held on to dearly in the past that was not in line with Christ. So, we have a goal. I didn't want you to start surfacing up those memories for nothing. The goal is to deal with them, to give them up, okay? In fact, some of us maybe, we haven't even given up the past. This might be true. How do I know? Or how would you know that you haven't given up the past? If somebody wronged you, every time, I always say this, every time you remember that, you feel the pain so fresh. You know, you begin to vibrate. The breathing rate even changes. You begin to become aggressive. You know? You begin to feel those mixed feelings, emotions. It means that area hasn't yet been dealt with. So, the Apostle Paul is saying, he gave his past up. Now, let me give the context as to why this came about. So when we read of Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2, we are going to find a series of stories where the Apostle Paul is wrestling with the Judaizers. Now, Judaizers, these were the teachers. After Paul went and preached the gospel in Philippi, these guys, they believed in the law, in the circumcision and obeying the law of Moses. So they went there and they said, no, simply believing in Christ to become Christians, it's not enough. There is more that needs to be done. You need to be circumcised, even if you are Gentiles. You need to become proselytes, which means the Gentiles that converts to Judaism. Okay? You need to become one of us. So you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the dietary laws. You know, the things that Jews don't eat. According to the law of Moses, you should follow all that. So, the Apostle Paul, when this came to his attention, he saw that people were being enslaved again to the things that Christ had liberated them from. So now, that's when now he wrote the book of Philippians. Okay? To deal with that problem. And people were boasting, you know, those that were followers of the law, they were boasting to say, we are the ones who are getting it right. Paul is missing the mark. Because, you know, he's avoiding circumcision. He's avoiding the dietary laws. He's avoiding the Sabbath law regulations and all these things. us, we are the ones who are getting it right. So follow our ways. And the Apostle Paul will use harsh words. You call them mutilators. You know, you use very strong terms on them. And then he begins to attack them again to say, look, you guys, you are even boasting. Your boast cannot even be compared to mine. So he begins to tell them to say, look, you are saying that you are Jews. I am the real Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If you read the passage, Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. So he begins to count everything now, you know, with regard to religious zeal. I was overzealous, a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee is somebody who was a professor of the law. When you hear the title Pharisee, it means somebody was a, in our contemporary, a professor. You know, those professors at Fuller. they will not like to be called Pharisees, but I'm just giving an example. Yeah, so Pharisees were the masters, the professors of the law. So the Apostle Paul told them to say, some of you, you are just Judaizers, you are just, you know, followers of the law, but for me, I am the teacher of the law himself. And then he went on and elaborated all the boastings. And he said, I was even zealous for this law to an extent that I was able to persecute the church. This is the young guy. When he was young, actually. When Stephen, my namesake, was being stoned. This is the man who bore witness. Who got all the jackets of the stoners and said, please, for you to be throwing, casting the stones well, please give me all your jackets. As you are sweating, I'm going to hold them. And the Bible says that they laid their clothes at Paul's feet. And he was there watching. They stoned Stephen. And I believe the prayer that he prayed to say, Lord, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. That was the prayer for Paul. And immediately after that encounter, he's going to encounter the Lord. Hallelujah. So Paul gives them his profile. You know, in my country, we call it the curriculum vitae, following the British. When I came to America, I was surprised to hear that it's the resume. So people were saying, resume, resume. I was like, what is the resume? You know, I didn't understand. So later I figured it out. Yeah. So Paul gave his resume, a very heavy one, loaded. That was his past. So he boasts to say, none of you can compare the glory that I was holding in that life. But for the sake of Christ, I consider it rubbish. There are so many translations. Rubbish. One of my professors was saying, dung. You know, that's the term that he uses. I consider it dung, you know, for the sake of Christ. So, that is the past. So that identity had to disappear. That's why I asked that question, those questions at first. So when you look at your identity of the past, is it still surfacing or it has disappeared? So these guys, their aim, their goal was to boast as Jews. Now they were emphasizing segregation in the body of Christ, you know, whereby they will say that we are the Jews. So you Gentiles, actually, you are not very much entitled to the salvation plan. So you should obey what we are saying. And the Apostle Paul said, no, 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 no. It is not like that. All the various identities, the social statuses that we had, they've been dissolved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read now. Let me read. You know, preachers are very difficult sometimes because Yeah, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 16. The Bible says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things," not some things, but all things. "I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Verse 10. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Brothers and sisters, I add, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Glory be to God. Look at this man. After all that powerful resume in chapter 1, in chapter 2, and even in other letters that he wrote, even in 2 Corinthians, he talks about his resume, he talks about his profile, his sufferings and everything that he went through. He said that, "I consider everything rubbish. Whatever I had, I consider it rubbish for the sake of Christ." When we look at our lives, there are so many things that we might be doing or holding on to which are hindering the work of Christ. Okay? We might be doing something that is hindering the work of Christ. For example, Christ would want us to be sharing his love to others. But maybe we are holding on to some shame of the past or the fear of the past. Every time we're about to open our mouths, we begin to tremble. The enemy is reminding us of those things. He's like, "When did you become an evangelist?" That's how he whispers. Huh? "When did you become a preacher? The person you're about to talk to is not going to agree with you. You are lying. You're a liar." And then perhaps you would have even greeted the person. You're like, "Hey, you're about to speak." And after those voices coming, you change your mind. You're like, "Never mind. Next time." Fear. We need to let go of everything that weighs us down. Amen? When you hear that voice speaking, you need to counter it. Listen, the Bible is saying that, "So that I may be found in him, not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ." That is very important to understand. When the enemy is whispering about all the bad things, the sins that we committed in the past, and that is making us ashamed to be free in the Lord, then it means that we are trying to live by our own standards and our own righteousness. We are forgetting that Christ did the complete work on the cross of Calvary for us. Every time God looks at us, He sees first Christ in us. Amen? The blood that was shed speaks a better word over our lives. Amen? So may we have confidence about that. And may we press on so that we can know Christ more. Now, he keeps on repeating the word pressing on. I press on. I press on. Now, from the word itself, to press, what comes up in your mind if you hear of pressing? It means there is some force that is being applied. And what is making you to apply that force? It means there is the resistance that is coming. Okay? I want to submit to us that Christian life is not a very easy life as we expect it. Okay? That's why it's very important when somebody comes to the Lord, we make them understand what they are signing up for. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we help people run away from church. Especially us pastors, we like doing that. Just come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be all right. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. I even pray in tongues. That anointing will hit that person within seconds. They'll be excited and say, hallelujah. They give their life to Christ. One day, 2 days, the enemy begin to fight back. And then they will be like, ah, but you promised me, you said everything will be new. And what is this that I'm seeing? Ah, this thing is not working. Some people have left church just like that, everywhere in the world. Because they were not told the truth. The Apostle Paul is saying, I want to be like him, even to share in his sufferings. This is what disciples mostly of our day don't want to hear. Sharing in the sufferings of Christ. It's not good news, right? It becomes bad news. When it begins to involve sufferings, it becomes bad news. Because we know to say, then that is not good. But it is part of Christianity. Amen? Now, you see, sometimes I take time to just be quiet and examine, ponder the lives of the people that we read about in the Bible. Oh my goodness. They never lived easy lives. In fact, all the apostles, they died, except one, they died as martyrs. Except John, the writer of the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. But again, he did not escape it because he was imprisoned. And church history tells us that he was even blind because he was imprisoned at the island of Patmos underground. And he could not see. You know, after being in the dark for a long time, your eyes die out. So that's what he experienced. In fact, we are even told that before he was taken to Patmos Island, they attempted to boil him in the oil. And miraculously, the guy did not burn because he was yet to write the book of Revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the interesting part is that all these stories that we hear, of course, they are scary, but at the same time, they are powerful. Amen? They are very powerful and encouraging. So, sharing in the sufferings of Christ, it's part of discipleship. So when you see challenges are coming, Don't easily run away. That's the solution the enemy brings. You know, I always say this, that, you know, like when you are in a group, any group that you are going to be in, if you are going to be in a group for maybe 6 months or 1 year, at least something that is not going to please you will come up. Even if you not declare it publicly, at least it is going to be there. And silently, you are going to be upset and furious. You'll be like, oh, I don't like what they do. You know, I didn't like what somebody said, so and so. And if you're not strong, that is going to cause you to run away. No, it means we are not living like Christ. That's why the Apostle Peter asked to say, have you persevered and resisted unto death? You see, some of us, we are blessed. Like my country where I'm coming from, Zambia, it's a Christian nation by constitution. What a blessing that is. That means that there are things that cannot just happen, you know. Like, there are things that will not just happen, like, you know, they want to bring things, they will not happen. Even people who are not Christian, they will shout and say, no, we are a Christian nation, we cannot do that. But the funny part is, I would have loved to see all Zambians being Christians. But we've got dangerous witches and wizards sometimes, just right there in the country. But when something comes like to threaten that cross to be removed, even them, they will say, no, we are a Christian nation. That cannot be allowed. So what I'm trying to say is that in our contemporary, we worship freely. There is no much persecution up to the blood. We know in other places, we heard, was it last year, of Sri Lanka and, you know, where they were attacked. We've heard of places where Christians are being persecuted. We don't have any of that in our places here. Okay? But when just a little thing comes up between the brother and the sister in the church, we are like, I've gone. They have disturbed me. No. We need to mature. We should press on the goal to maturity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time you face a little situation that is like a setback to you, ask yourself, is this similar to what Christ went through? Is this similar to what the apostles went through? Is this similar to what others have gone through? In church history, we hear of people, you know, who did great things for God. We hear of men who were told to renounce their Christianity. But they refused. They said no. They were put on the stake. And then as he was burning, they struck him with a spear. And the blood came out and quenched all the fire. And at that point they said, this guy. They removed him from there. Wonderful stories. Don't be scared. This is reality. Okay? I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm here to encourage people. Because people will be like, oh, now what is he talking about?
We're still here.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, so, what I'm trying to say is that, look, the little temptations, challenges that we are going through right now, they are nothing compared to the glory that is coming. Now, most of the times when we hear such phrases, we think of in future heaven after we've died. No. Those are tests. No, our Christianity, we grow by passing through challenges and temptations. That's how we grow. Persecutions. That's how we grow. We are growing. So instead of crying to say, Lord, why me? Why? Why, Lord? Sometimes we might even behave as if we are not Christians. Why alone? Why, Lord? Why am I passing through this? Technically, you are saying that even my neighbor so and so should also be experiencing what I'm experiencing. When we are going through such moments, we should be, instead of asking why, we should be asking God to say, Lord, what is it that you are teaching me out of this? Right. Amen?
Yes.
What is it that you want me to learn out of this? I've had my share. Just like the Apostle Paul, not that I've attained it, but I've had my fire, you know? I've had my own share. And I have seen the power and the glory of God. And it's interesting because the things that used to bring me down those days, this time they cannot. I'll just look at them and say, this is nothing. Because I've encountered bigger stuff and prevailed with the help of the Lord. Hallelujah!
Amen.
All of us, we've been battling, we've been passing through one challenge after the other. What we don't know is that everything that we are going through, even the things that we went through before we became Christians, they were exams that we were writing. And in one way or the other, the things that you never thought that can be useful, even to somebody, even as you've become a Christian, you see them popping up. Somebody will be going through the similar situation. And then, instead of you crying the way you cried years ago, you are going to be the Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the daughter of encouragement. You have authority. You see? You cannot be an authority over something that is very unfamiliar to you. The fact that you have passed through something, you have authority over that. As you be speaking, it will be from the practical point of view, out of experience. That is what we call testimony. Christianity is about testimonies. Hallelujah. Every time you go through a challenge, it is a song that is being written. It is a testimony that is being given to you. Amen?
Amen.
Christianity becomes powerful with the testimonies. If I want to minister a powerful message, sometimes I'll just stand up and tell you about my life. And out of the stories, you are going to be connecting dots. You'll be like, I know there have been some people who came and asked me to say, did you really go through what you are talking about? I was like, why? They're like, some of it sounds exaggerated or something. You are still here. It is a song. Hallelujah. There are so many songs that you have right now. And you can sing them. Even if you don't know how to play the guitar like Hephzibah. No worries. You can still sing them by speaking them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because I went through that. Glory be to your name. Amen. I love Joseph. I love David. I love Moses. I love Jephthah. I love all these guys. When you look at their stories, before, it was like, injustice is taking place. No. So he's a very bad man. He's a cruel. He's a devil. He wants to kill David. Not knowing that the man was training him. Every challenge David went through, that's what made you and me to have the book of Psalms in volume. Because he was writing them down and sing them. And today we read them as Psalms. Hallelujah. Begin to write your Psalms in Jesus' name over the issues that you've gone through. And you are going to see how your life is going to turn around. Joseph was crying, Lord, that vision, I'm sure, was a false vision. That was a false dream. I saw a dream 13 years ago, but it was all fake. Look, how can my brothers bow down to me? They even sold me. I'm in a different land now. I'm shattered. To make the matters worse, I'm imprisoned in a foreign land. Not knowing that everything, every step was orchestrated by God. Him being sold. He didn't know that he was being ushered to his destiny. That was his promotion. He went there. Potiphar casting him into prison, he complained, I'm sure, as a human being. He told the cupbearer to say, look, I've been imprisoned without cause. Remember me. He was crying. But it was in that prison where he met. And he even found himself in the king's prison. The royal prison. Hallelujah. He learned wisdom in there. He learned how to live in the palace. He learned how to live with royalty. Of course, it was a dangerous prison at the same time because the king can just wake up one day. He's the final authority. You just order to say, execute. But praise God. 13 years later, the time came. That's when he remembered to say, hey, I didn't know that all this was for this purpose. That's why it was easy for him to forgive his brothers. Not very easy because he had to cry. He cried. He was a human being. He felt the pain, but he released them. He said, what you did was actually helping me to come to my destiny. Amen. David, the same thing. Amen? Amen? So, let's not hold on to the past identities, especially the fake identities. Okay? I've given you examples of the fake identity that I had of being called nicknames, martial art, you know, karate, and trying to make a name for myself, and I had a weird vision of I was just having this imagination to say, I think I just need to go to Japan or China, you know, just to go and become a monk in the temple, not even to marry. Oh my God, I could have lost the Stevens and all my five kids. Amen. That was the vision. Oh, I just want to be a Shaolin, you know. The devil is a liar. So, all that identity is nothing. Amen? It's vanity of vanities. The Apostle Paul considered it rubbish. The glorious identity is the one that is found in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that is found in Christ Jesus. So, very quickly. Sorry, I had gone into some little preaching a little bit. Yeah, sorry. Let me... So, when we look at coming down here, number one, verse 4 to 6, Paul denounced his past identity in which he had boasted greatly. So we should denounce our past identity. Verse number 2, verse 7 and 8, he considered everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the most important thing that you can never have on this earth, knowing Christ. Hallelujah. Because even after you've crossed over to the other side, you'll still be with him. He'll still be with you. One professor told us to say, Christ is the only one. He gave a story of a funeral. To say when you lose your beloved one, you are going to show all your love, you will cry. But there is the end point at the graveyard. When you reach there, of course in Zambia I've seen, you know, there's a lot of drama sometimes that happens with people when they are crying. they'll be troubling people. Hey, leave me! I want to jump in there. I remember one grandpa. You know, this brother, you know, was huge, and he was giving trouble to people, you know, trying to jump into the grave, and, you know, they are busy holding him. One grandpa just said, hey, why are you troubling yourselves? Leave him. Let him jump in there. We are going to bury him. He's wasting our time. And so the guy was left, and he just ran. Why? I was like, this one is a wise man. He knew that the guy was, you know, trying to do all the drama because some people were helping. They were enabling him. But after he was let go, he couldn't jump in there. He knew the value of life. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is, we can show our love, but there is the end point. We cannot go in the grave. I've never heard anyone who said, they also went in there and said, please bury us together. No. Even if they are a couple. But Jesus will cross over with you to the other side. He is our shepherd. Amen? Paul's knowing of Christ does not merely refer to a mental knowledge, but to an intimate knowledge of him. Experiencing and enjoying the benefit of salvation by faith and not by works. So salvation is by faith. Let no man or woman tell you to say, for you to get saved, you need to be doing 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. No, it doesn't work like that. Our forefathers, during the time of Moses, they tried that formula. None of them managed. In fact, they were provoking God more and more all the time. That's why he brought the easy way. Jesus said, okay, you have failed all these things. I'm going to do it for you. The only thing that you need to do, the only work you need to do, is to just believe and trust in me. That's it. Is that difficult? Yeah, there is yes. Yeah, we know how it is. Yeah. Paul had found the new righteousness in Christ through faith in his completed work on the cross. Number 4. This is the righteousness which gives us the new identity and history, which enabled Paul to discard his pride in racial, social status, caste, and sex. He abandoned all that. He said, all these things are nothing. Christ is special. Hallelujah. The last one is, therefore, it's supposed to be as a new people of God. We should boast in the new identity of Christ as Christians. And our desire should be to become like Christ in all respects. Not just blessings, but sufferings, death, and the resurrection, both figuratively in our present life and literally in the life to come. Amen. If you stop doing the things of the world that you loved doing, it means you have died to that kind of life. And you have resurrected with Christ. Amen? Isn't that what baptism stands for? Yes. Coming from the Baptist background, that was emphasized, okay? Being buried with Christ. Dying and being buried with Christ. And when you are brought out, you have resurrected with him to new life. Amen. Amen. So, we are going to go. There are questions that we are going to discuss here. What are some of the odd identities that you have attached yourself to? If you look at your life, do you still have those identities that are coming up? Maybe you are still holding on to them. You don't want to let go. I've told you the example of my fellow high school classmates. Even when we've tried to gather together, it's not making sense. It's like everything they are saying, for me, I've gone. You know, we are not connecting. So the only help is for me to start guiding them. Amen? How do you think this study could help you deal with them, those identities? What are some of the ways that you've been experiencing this intimacy and the benefits of salvation by faith? So, the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.